Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Amen. Hallelujah. So you're very welcome once again to the service. Amen. And the Lord is good. Amen. Give another big hand clap to the worship team. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Yeah, last Sunday, we talked about, we established in the previous weeks that we are the house of God. We are the what? We are the house of God. Amen. The Bible is clear about that. You individually, you're God's temple. And us as a group, corporately, we are the what? The temple of God, the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And some time ago, some people, Judith, saw a ladder here, you know. And John, who is not here today, also had a vision where he saw a ladder, you know, going up to heaven, you know, which reminds us of Genesis 28, you know, when Jacob dreamt a dream, and he saw a ladder, you know, coming from the ground, you know, going up, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it, and the Lord was on top of it. Amen. And when Jacob awoke, he said that, you know, I didn't know it. Then he said, surely, this is the house of God. And he named that place Bethel. You remember, Amen. So by the mere fact that there is a ladder in this house, within us, amen, it means it is obvious, it is evident that God is saying that we are his what? We are his house. Amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Then later, so that is Genesis 28, where you see Bethel. Amen? But later in Genesis 35, Jacob again comes to that same place, and he calls it what? He calls that same place, at first he called it Bethel, then later, Genesis 35:17, I guess, later he called it El Bethel. Amen? The God of the house of God. El means God. Amen? Amen? It is a short for Elohim. El, you know. So he called it what? El Bethel. You know, now that means for any place to qualify as the house of God, the God of the house must be exalted above the house. You understand? Amen? The God of the house. Amen? Most people wanna make things take precedence over God, you know, in his house. And with that, they lose it. It just remains a meeting club, a social club, you know, where people come on Sunday to meet, hang out. But when God is like, that is no longer my house. Amen? So in everything that we do, first and foremost, you know, God must be exalted. You understand? It's all about Jesus. It's all about God. Amen? Glory be to God. Amen? It's all about who? It's all about God. Hallelujah. Is this Norman's mother? Okay. Give her a big hand clap. Norman's mother. Hallelujah. I was told she was here 2 weeks ago or something like that. You know? Yeah. Amen? Now, Exodus 25, verse 8. By now you should know that scripture. God told Moses, he told him that let them make me a tabernacle, a sanctuary, that I may dwell amongst them, that I may dwell with them. Amen. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God's desire has always been to dwell with his children, with his people. Amen. In Genesis 3:8, you know, we see God coming down in the cool of the day to dwell, to talk, to fellowship with Adam, amen, and Eve. Now, when sin happened, that was lost. But God's intention never changed. He has always desired to dwell among his people. That's why we see in Exodus 25, you see, he says, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell with my people, among them. Amen. That was the same purpose for the temple. Amen. That is the same purpose for the church, the house of God. Amen. You understand? Glory be to God. Now, because, by the way, you all know, you've heard that story, how I was born. I named Moses, amen. And then when I got born again, the Lord told me that now you will do everything that Moses did. Amen. And you'll be victorious in that work. Amen. So I remember 2nd November 2000, you know, I was in medical school. I was in the canteen, you know, and I was reading the Bible. Amen. And God spoke to me from the Bible, not through a prophet, from the what? In the canteen, reading, you know. So I was reading 1 Chronicles 22:5. Then I go to verse 5. Amen. And I was reading at that time NIV. Amen. And that verse said that my son Solomon is young and inexperienced. Yet the house of the Lord to be built must be what? Must be what? Glory be to God. The thing is there. Amen. It should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight. Now, I remember as I read the man in the canteen, taking tea or something, man, that verse hit me. I remember I closed the Bible. You know, I knew God had spoken to me. You know, Then later, that evening, I decided to find out, because in those days I was in fifth year, medical school, and man, you know, it was busy, tight, the final year, very tight, you know. So I never used to watch TV, because you had to spend your time well. So that day, I decided to find out, just to find out what is on TV these days. Amen. So I get a remote, I switch on the TV, and it was LTV, and there was this guy, Pastor Lai, some guy from Kenya, He used to be, anyway. So, the moment I switch on the TV like this, the guy was reading this scripture. You know, I was like, what is on TV these days? During the movie, the guy is saying, and my son Solomon is young and inexperienced, yet the house to be built for the Lord must be of great magnificence and fame and splendor. I remember I just switched off the TV, I just went and lay on my bed amazed, and God told me, just like Moses built me a dwelling place, you also will build me a house. Amen? But that verse, of course, showed that I was young and inexperienced. And God says, one day, he didn't say when, but said, one day, you'll build me a house. Amen? And now, this is the house that God has begun to build. I can assure you, God is not a liar. God is not a liar like who? Not your neighbor, like your girlfriend. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. This LAT, that thing has to happen. It has to. Now, not the building that we shall have. There's a man, the guys have a building, No. The people that will be in you understand? That congregation will be known in the nations, Glory be to God. Amen. Of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all Now, just imagine how I used to think about myself when I was in medical school. That fifth year, then after I finished internship and then I began to work. All these years, I was feeling so great about myself. Here you are, you're in a taxi, but you know that you're going to build a house that will be of great magnificence and fame in the sight of all nations. There is someone I was telling that now concerning the promises of God that you have, you should be walking with a swag. Man, some people have great and precious promises. Then you see them a little bit, why? The things that you have, in fact, you should, if people don't call you proud, then you're not really, what? Then it means you're not walking like God would want you to walk. Glory be to God. Amen. You know, I had nothing, but I was like, man, you know what I have, the promises that I have. To this day, that's what I think. To the extent that now, there is almost nothing. I think there is nothing. You can give me to like wash your honor, absolutely nothing. Because I have, to me, what is the greatest. You understand? Building God a house, you know, that becomes of great magnificence and fame. There is absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. That means that there is nothing you can do to me that can deflate my Christ esteem. Nothing, nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. I know who what? I know who I am. You know, you can't do nothing. You cannot exclude me from a gathering, from a club, from what, you know, all that stuff. You know, people are not the ones who you know. Man, it's all about God. You understand? Glory be to God. Anyway, a house of great what? Magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all nations. This one, but for that to happen, you have to exalt the God of the house. Amen? Greater than any other thing in that house. You understand? This is so important. And this is how you should also live your life. Amen? Let your life be about God, about Jesus. You understand? Amen? The day your life starts being about someone else, that is the day you become fake. Going to heaven, but fake, man. God just looks at you and says, look at that one. You know, maybe I should even just call her or him to heaven, because she's doing nothing. But then he lets you hang around for I don't know what reason. But just seeing a wasted life, amen, living for funny things, living to get which car, living to stay in which neighborhood, living for your family, living for your relatives, instead of living for God. These things sound bad, but man, but they are true anyway, nonetheless. Glory be to God. So anyway, he told him, build me a tabernacle that I may dwell. Now, the interesting thing is that tabernacle that Moses built, everything about it was talking about Jesus. Everything about that with tabernacle was talking about Jesus. Nothing else. That is the same thing with the temple of Solomon. Everything about it primarily, amen, or everything that was in there, they were symbolic of Jesus. You understand? Meaning that house was Jesus, that house was about, it was about God, nothing else. Amen? Glory be to God. Joseph helped me, and he got a diagram, a simple whatever of the tabernacle. By the way, this church almost got to be called the Tabernacle of Moses. I'm telling you. And I told Elvis at that time, man, I'm going to call it this. Then he's like, but then I told him, but man, it will cause chaos, you understand? People say, how can you name a church after yourself? But the tabernacle was named after Moses. The Bible calls it the Tabernacle of Moses. This church almost, so we knew it was going to mess up people who don't want. Now, I know pastors in this city who cannot name their kids Moses. Because Moses symbolizing the law. Yet we've been delivered from the, there are guys, in fact, I believe they hate that name. I'm telling you. I think they hate that name. So I told him that man's going to, anyway. So later, we decided to call it L.A.T., Last Adam. So I told Elvis at that time that, I'm going to call it what? Last, So you could see he was a bit like, I think he wanted some. So I told him that you could see he was a bit, I think he was anticipating now some interesting things. You understand? Anyway, this is it. Glory be to God. This is it, what God told Moses to build. Amen? Amen? And there was an entrance there at the east. Amen? And the whole plot was to get to the Ark of the Covenant. You see, the Ark of it contained Aaron's rod that budded, you know, and then bread in a pot, and what else? You're the one who loves scripture.
What else?
What you hate most, the Ten Commandments. You know, they were all there. Now, they were covered. There was a lid on top of it, you know, which was called the mercy seat, you know. And on top of that lid, there are the two cherubim, you know. The Bible says, overshadowing the mercy seat. Now, it was on that mercy seat, you know, that the priest would go once a year and, you know, shed the blood on that lid. You see, amen? But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 22, verse 5, that and there, you know, the mercy seat, and there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony. You see, So between the cherubim, God said that's where I am. You know, so, and it all means that God was in that place called the most holy place, which is basically the Holy of Holies. You see, so the whole purpose of entering through that gate was to arrive there, in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Now, we're going to walk through this very quickly. Amen? It is simple stuff, I think. Amen? Yeah. So now, there is the entrance gate. First of all, the most important thing about this gate is that it was one gate. There was no other entry. No other way to enter in there but through that gate. Amen? You see? Now that, like we said, everything in there is talking about Jesus. You see? Now, one gate being there is symbolic of Jesus. Again, we say the whole purpose is to move from the gate, enter through into the presence of God, the holy place. You see, now there was one gate. Now Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he says that no one comes to the Father except by me. You understand? He's the way. And actually in John 10, 9, he says that I am the door. I am the gate. John 10, 9. Do you guys have your Bibles? Where are they? They are what? On the phone. In your bags. Hallelujah. Amen. He says that I am the door. Then he says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. You understand? Amen. So the gate is Jesus. You know, you cannot enter any other way. And if you enter through him, you will be saved. And you are saved. Glory be to God. Amen. Let's go back. Then, we went to, when you entered, there was the altar of burnt offerings, what they call, KJV calls the brazen altar, you know, Now, I found out that, in KJV, they use the word brass, brazen, but actually, the right word should be what New KJV says, bronze. It was the altar of bronze. You know, why it should be bronze? Why they use brass in KJV? This is not important to some of you. Amen. Was because at that time, the word bronze wasn't yet there. You understand? But later, they realized that actually a mixture of copper and tin is bronze. So now that's why in KJV, they use the word bronze. And so there was the altar of bronze. Now it is at that altar that the sacrifices used to be burnt. The altar of bronze, you know, Hallelujah. Now, like your girlfriend, who does what? Who lies? She would bring an animal, you know, lays hands on it, on its head, you know. Then in a sense, they become one with that, you know, like her sins were on that. You see? Then after that, they'll bring it here and the priest would burn it. Amen? For her sins. Glory be to God. Now, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 21, when the children of God, the children of Israel complained in the wilderness, God said from verse 5 to 9, the Bible says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. They said, why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathed this worthless bread. Can you imagine God has given you prosperity and you call it worthless? Amen. And then so the people, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people and they beat the people and many of the people of Israel died. Glory be to God. Well, you don't have to give glory to God for that. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you, and pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to him, make me a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze snake, you know, he lived. Glory be to God. Amen. So now that bronze altar was symbolizing Jesus. You know, the bronze altar and what was burnt on there was symbolizing, like here, you see the serpent on the cross, bronze. Amen. Now, the Bible says in John 3, 14 to 17, Jesus said that now, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. You know that verse, eh? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Then verse 17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him all might be saved. Amen? Jesus did not come to condemn anyone. Amen? And he's not condemning you. Amen? He's not condemning your girlfriend. You should tell her. Glory be to God. Neither does he condemn you for getting her. By the way, I hope we are friends. You have made a mistake and sat in front here. So you're going to be in the firing squad. Amen? So God doesn't condemn anybody. You know, you are not condemned. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know those verses. Amen? Most of you think I don't know them. Glory be to God. So anyway, the brazen altar, the altar of bronze, was to, again, what we're trying to show is that everything in the tabernacle was talking about Jesus. You understand? And why we're saying that is because we have to establish a culture in this church, in LAT, where everything is about Jesus. Do you understand? This is the point I'm not so into this, you know, but I'm just trying to show you that the tabernacle, God's dwelling place, was all about him. You understand? And this has to be true for us, you know, and for any church, a fellowship, whatever. Everything should be about Jesus. Glory be to God. Now, after the priests had burnt the animal, you know, then he walked to what the bronze laver. You know, now that was simply a basin, you know, which had water, you know, which a priest would use to wash his feet and his hands before he proceeds further. You understand? And it was made of women's mirrors. That's what the Bible says, Exodus 28:8. It was made of women's what? Mirrors. By the way, years ago, when we just began to date with Geraldine, I was shocked that she didn't have a mirror in her bag. Man, I was shocked. I thought every woman has a what? A mirror in their bag. Man, Gerald didn't have. I was shocked. Now, that means that people are not supposed to be like everyone else. You understand? Your wife didn't have to be like everyone. You understand? So don't make her be like what? Like another woman, like your sister, like your mother. Amen? No, man, when you get to marry, don't try to make what? Your wife, like your mother. You understand? Amen? Now, this is deep. My wife didn't have a mirror. I grew up knowing, I mean, don't know where I got it from, that all women have mirrors in their bags. Isn't that supposed to be so? Maybe things have changed. You know, end times, glory be. You know, maybe these days they use their the mirrors in their car. You know? The selfie. Now you see, so you have the mirrors. Glory be to God. You see, she has it. Now you see. Now she has a mirror. Now no man, don't what. Do now say, man, you have to have a mirror just because my mother used to have a mirror. You understand? She's not your mother. You know, glory be to God. Amen? There is a stupid guy. Glory be. That word has to feature. There is a stupid guy who one time, some messed up guy. Some people, by the way, used to come and ask me. I think Mahmoud, you remember? Anyway. He used to come and ask me is there something wrong with that guy's head? Then I told him, I don't think there's something. But now I think there's something wrong with that guy's head, some guy. And so, the guy one time met Joanne, and he told her, you know, there is this girl I saw, he likes her, but she doesn't like him. And then he's like, I think she didn't like me, because she told him, he told her that to help her to Joanne to work on him to fashion him to be like Sam, the husband, you know, Joanne to work on the guy to start looking like Sam, because according to him, that girl likes someone like Sam. Now she wants Joanne to begin a school for teaching her to become like Sam. Now, isn't that stupidity? You know, now that is high level what? High level what? Stupidity, man. Anyway, so the point is, no man. Don't try to turn your wife into your mother. Amen. Neither should you girls try to get your what? Husbands to be like your fathers. You understand? Anyway, mirrors. The golden, the bronze lever. You know, it was a basin which had water. But that basin was built from bronze mirrors. Women, and the Bible was very clear. Women's mirrors. Women's. So that means that if you don't have a mirror, a woman, you don't have a mirror, you are what? You are not what? In alignment with scripture. Glory be to God. And there's some of you who have them now, but since everyone said we don't have them, now you're darkening. But you don't have to be like everyone else. Amen? Glory be to God. So anyway, so the priest would come and what? Wash in there. before he proceeds further. Amen? He would wash in the water that was in the what? Amen? Anyway, the Bible says in Ephesians, first of all, in John chapter 15, 3, Jesus said, he told his disciples, he told them that you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You understand? The word that Jesus spoke to them cleansed them. You understand? And now that word, you all know, the Bible says in John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the word. And that word, say it like you know it. And the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Amen? Jesus was the word that cleanses. Amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 27, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word? By the word. That he may sanctify, that he might present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. You understand? Jesus is the word. He is the word that cleanses. Again, the point I'm trying to make, everything about the tabernacle is about Jesus. You understand? For a group of people to qualify as God's dwelling place, as the house of God, everything about them must be Jesus. You understand? It's not supposed to be about worship. The worship must be about Jesus. You understand? You know, this is it, guys. You know, and again, in your life, lift up the name of the Lord. Let every, when you want to make a decision, first and foremost, put Jesus in the picture. Man, years ago, now I've done mistakes in my life, which are none of your business. Amen? They're not even my wife's business, because they're not her mistakes, they're mine. You understand? However, there are also some things, mistakes which I haven't done. Amen? Primarily because I will never forget the first day. This could have been 1999, the first time I read The Final Quest. And I read a statement in there where Rick Joyner was being told by the Lord, I think, you know. And he told him that always inquire of me before you make major decisions. That scripture, I was a kid in the Lord. I got born again in 98, I think. Second year, you know. Then a few months later, someone gives me the Final Quest. That statement, it's a statement I'll never forget from that book. I was a kid in the Lord, and that thing hit me, you know. And the Lord told Rick Joyner that, always inquire of me before making major decisions. You understand? Now, you can. You can inquire of God what phone to buy. You can. You know, where to have lunch today. You can. You should. I don't know. That's up to you. But some things are not major. Amen? There are major things. Major things like where you should stay. Do you know that's major? To some of you, it's not major. You're looking for the wonderful neighborhood, you understand? And God wants you to be in a good neighborhood. You know? But that's major. Where you stay is major. The place, the school you take your child to, that is major. I'm not talking about Bushiri, you know? Major one. You know? Those things are very, you know, you take your kid to a school, before you know it, man, something wrong happens, which wouldn't have happened had you taken her to the school God wanted. These things are major things. Where you stay, I'm amazed at how people just shift neighborhood houses, you know. Those things are major. And to me, again, I think, I don't know, I think how I got saved, like those first months, just established a foundation in my life that to this day, I don't quite fit in with so many people. The way people make decisions, you understand? For some reason, that's why one time I told, was it Sandra? You know, a long time ago when you just become friends, I told her, I think we went in a lunch with her or we were chatting on phone. A long time ago, I told her that, brother, you're going to discover that your pastor is weird. You know, now that you've become, you're going to discover a man, you have a weird pastor. Then I told her that I even feel sorry for people who call me their pastor. You understand? Anyway, now that thing, always inquire of me before making major decisions. Don't just make decisions because your whole clan works, you know, A clan, the head of the clan is a witch. Most heads of clans are witches. They might not be really obvious, but they always go and do things for the clan. They intercede for you and for your children. You know these things, For me, I don't have a clan. That means I don't have a clan leader. You understand? Your family is doing this so well. You wanna be part of nonsense. Always put Jesus in the picture. Make decisions based on Jesus. Not first of all, not you to begin with, not anyone else, but Jesus. If you do that, I can assure you, you will never fail in life. You will never. You can't fail in life when you make decisions based on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And some of those decisions, again, now when you see the decisions is for Jesus, Jesus will also show you the cost, what it's going to cost you. Now that's where most people freak out. The cost. You know, that's where most people freak out. When the real man, they're going to face fire. What people are going to say, bye-bye, that's when people freak out. Glory be to God. But if you're going to become a major in the kingdom, you have to learn how to say, I'll pay the price. And you'll be celebrated in heaven. Amen? Hallelujah. Where were we? How did we get to this? The what? Mirrors, Amen? Hallelujah. So, yes. So Jesus is a word. The word which cleanses. And he continually cleanses us by the washing of water, by the word. Hallelujah. Mirrors, first of all, in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, actually, it talks about the word, as a mirror. The perfect law of liberty. It was about as a mirror. You look in there and you see yourself. You understand? Which again is a word. Anyway, that is something else. But the word is Jesus. The word which does what? Cleanses. Glory be to God. Then, after you have washed in that basin, made from the mirrors of your wife or your girlfriend. Amen. Then you would enter the holy place. Amen. The holy place. Now, in the holy place, on the left, there was the lampstand. The lampstand. The lampstand. Amen. Which basically was giving light in that room, in that place, the lampstand. Amen. And Jesus, I think it is in John 8:12, he says that I am the light of the world. Glory be to God. What did he say? I am the light. He said that then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Glory be to God. Jesus is the light of the world. Yeah? Now, that lampstand is also symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit, the lampstand, the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 26, that the Holy Spirit was to come to testify of Jesus. Amen? You understand? So in all ways, the lampstand, primarily it is talking about Jesus, the light of the world, the one whom the Holy Spirit is testifying about. Glory be to God. Jesus said, but when the helper comes, when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, let's just pause there. A thought has come. Is your life testifying about Jesus? Glory be to God. Amen. Is your team, your soccer team, testifying about Jesus? Amen. There are some teams, Manchester United, your team. Can you imagine? You call yourself spiritual. You support Man U. Do you know what Man U is? What they call their team?
Red Devils.
The Red Devils. Glory be to God. Either change clubs or write to the management to change that. Hallelujah. At least the Gunners. We gun down the devil. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you don't think we do that, I mean, you check the last like two or three, you know, the seasons. All go right now. Look at the table. Hallelujah. But your life should testify about Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. Your life, think about your life. Should testify about Jesus. Man, I'll never forget one of the greatest things I've ever had in my life. Actually, it could be the greatest I've ever had. Again, I just gotten born again. So, I think my dad, or it's me. Anyway, I went to see some old lady. She was like my dad's aunt. Someone, Mawanda Road. So, I went to see a very old lady, you know. She was born again. She was even in that clique, intercessors for Uganda. So I remember I went there to see her. So as we talked, she told me that the moment I saw you, the moment you entered through the gate, you know, she said that I knew you were born again because I saw something about you. Now, I don't think I've ever had anything greater. Now, this is like 1999 or something. The old lady said, I saw something about you. Glory be to God. Now, that is awesome. Amen? Anyway, the point is, let your life just about what you do. You understand? How you dress. I'm not saying dress like you're the most... Rather go and buy all the designer stuff. That's not what I'm saying. Actually, most people who are into these designer things, you are not a label, what, so and so, this, whatever, wow, you know. By the that thing, people who are so much into it, I believe that it is just a sign of inferiority. There is something within you that is not right, that you think it can only be made up by wearing a shirt or a blouse with someone's name on it. That's what I think. I don't see why I shouldn't bounce, you know, just because my shirt has no someone's name. I can only feel nice if, you know, if the suit, those things, by the way, those are, I believe it, but I don't go around proclaiming it. But you just listen to someone talk, blah, 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 you know, everything, you just know now these ones, either the world has just messed them up, you know, that they cannot feel great unless. Those things are serious, by the way, in my opinion. But again, don't make them a big deal to you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. So Jesus is the what? The light of the world. The lampstand, not the candlestick. Amen. at that time, there were no candlesticks. Glory be to God. And the Holy Spirit came to testify of him. And your life should testify about Jesus. Glory be to God. Then on the right, there was the table of showbread. You know, there was a table, you know, with loaves of bread on it. 12 loaves on it. And without wasting out of time, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 51, he said that I am the bread that came down from heaven. I'm the bread of life. Amen? Jesus, he is a bread. Amen? I hope you guys don't miss why I'm sharing this. The point is, everything in the tabernacle, in the house of God, was primarily, you know, in addition to other things, primarily, it was talking about Jesus. Amen? That means that in the house of God, in reality, you know, everything should be about Jesus to begin with. And that should be so in your life. Let me go back to this. Do not make major decisions, without inquiring of the Lord. Anyway, let me leave that thing alone. But that's the point. So let everything be about Jesus. So Jesus in John 6:51 said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Amen? Amen? The bread that came down from heaven. Amen? Now after that, you went to the golden altar, the altar of incense. The one outside was bronze, an altar with bronze, where animal sacrifice were. But this one now was golden, you know. And on it there, there was the censer, you know, in which incense would be burnt. Glory be to God. Amen. That is before now you crossed over into the most holy place. Now, the interesting thing is, in Hebrews, when this tabernacle is talked about, they place this altar of incense in the most holy place. You know, but in Exodus, you know, it is placed outside. Now, that's your homework. Go and find out why. Evers, you're going to find out why. You're going to tell us next Sunday. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. But the altar of incense. Amen. Now last week, we saw, according to Revelation 5:8, that the altar of incense is, that incense is what? Is what? It is prayer. He said that, let my prayer come before thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Revelation 5:8 makes it clear that incense is prayer. You see, Now, this also was talking about Jesus. Because in Hebrews, I think 7:25, you know, it talks about Jesus who forever intercedes for us. Prayer, usually, it is talking about intercession. So the Bible says that therefore, he, Jesus, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to him through God, since he lives to make intercession for them. Glory be to God. Jesus is making intercession for you. You understand? That's why there is no condemnation. All your stupidity, you understand? All your foolishness, glory be to God. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation. And you have someone who's always, interceding for you. Glory be to God. Amen? So you are going to heaven if you're born again. If you haven't yet thrown out Jesus, but you can throw him out. You can say, anyway, you're going to heaven. Jesus forever, he's interceding for you. He's making intercession for you. That is the altar of what? Incense. Glory be to God. out of incense, and what? And when it was what? Offered, and to the Lord. Amen? Now, when that was done, now, you before you enter the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, there was a curtain, a thick curtain. Amen? Now, that thick curtain also was talking about Jesus. Amen? It was also talking about the Lord, because everything in the tabernacle was talking about the Lord. So everything in LAT should be testifying of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen? There was a thick curtain. You see? And which anyway was torn apart from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. You know, from top to bottom, meaning that it wasn't done by man. First of all, that thing was long and it was thick. You see? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 27, Matthew 27, I think from verse 50. What does it say? It says that, and Jesus cried out when he was on the cross. He cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earthquake and the rocks, you know, split. You know, but it was torn into what? Into two. Meaning that now we have access to what we said, where God dwells. You see? Amen? But to show you that that curtain was talking about Jesus. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. He says that there are four brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. That curtain, the veil. Through the veil, then say that is his flesh. The curtain, the veil, was talking about the flesh, his body. You see, And when it was torn apart on the cross, you see, when he died, you know, he was beaten and everything. You know, in essence, even the curtain in the temple was what? Rent into two. You see, Amen? So even the curtain was talking about Jesus. Amen? When his body, you know, was torn apart, the curtain was also, you know, and then say, now we can boldly enter the Holy of Holies. Glory be to God. Amen? 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 Now, this LAT, last Adam tabernacle. The tabernacle of the last Adam, Jesus. You know, everything about, you know, if we make everything about us Jesus, Jesus is the center of everything. You see, man, you know, just like the presence of God used to fill that place, you know, the presence of God will continually increase within our midst. You see? And where the presence of the Lord is, the blessings follow. Amen? You remember we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 6, I think verse 12 or 11, you see? How when the ark, you know, was put in the house of Obed, you know, the guy who used to play the guitar, you remember? You see, the Bible says, man, God blessed everything in that house. The guy prospered because of the presence. Glory be to God. But because the presence of God was in his house. And that's what is happening and will continually happen in LAT. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not here to become famous. Amen. Now, if your life is all about to become famous, man, do you know what you're going to do? That means that you can do anything to become famous. Anything evil, as long as you get fame. Because you won't want to know, you won't want people to know what you did. Amen? So, we are here not to become famous. Amen? But God said, we shall be of great fame. Amen? Not in Tinda, not in Kampala, but in the sight of all nations. Amen? Was it 5th January or 7th January? That first Tuesday, first Zoe, you know, Tuesday 2014, amen, when Evers had a dream. The church had just begun in August, so by January it was just a few months old, they're like 5 months. And Evers had a dream when people were coming from the nations, to come and check out these guys, you know, who commune with fellows like Elijah, like Enoch. People were coming in from the nations. You understand? You know, and that is exactly that. You know, Hallelujah. Amen? I always say, as long as I'm a pastor of this church, these things have to happen. You know, God has trained me how to believe him, how to hold on to the word, how to make things happen. You know, the promise to come. You know, I know how to do these things. I know how to hold on. Most of you, you get a word 2 days and you're freaking out. 2 days, especially when the fire starts. And the Bible is so clear. Persecution comes, not for you, not because of you. It says that it comes for the word's sake. You know, do you know this thing called busu, Busu. That is your holding, you know, something, then someone, so that you drop it. Persecution comes just for that purpose, for you to drop the word. Amen? You see, then you drop the word, then you run around for another prophecy, you've just dropped a prophecy, a word from God. Now you're running about another. Then again, God gives you another promise. Then persecution, pooh, you know, before you know it, 40 years and you're going to heaven. Between man, there is a trail of words that were dropped along the way because of persecution. You didn't have the stamina, the ability to hold on to them. This thing, a house of, I received it 2nd November 2000. 2000. I went through medical school. I began working. But almost every day, I was looking forward to the day when God would tell me, now leave this stupid employment thing. You know, you're working, but you're waiting for that day when God will tell you, stop. Amen? And I was wise, you see, because don't make major decisions without inquiring of the Lord. So for 14 years, I knew I only get out of here when I'm told. You know, you just don't do things just because you have zeal, you know. You don't do something just because you can do it. Now, that's the mistake people make. In so many things, people think just because I can do something, I'm going to do it. Well, you do it. That is if you do it. But even if you accomplish it, the energy to make it happen, the stress, you know, it's not worth it. Then it happens and you say, you seek the Lord, but it wasn't the Lord. Just because you can do something, it doesn't mean that you should do it, especially if it is major. If it is major, always inquire of the Lord before doing it. Hallelujah. These are very simple things, in my opinion. Rachel, always inquire of the Lord before you make major decisions. Hallelujah. Amen? I hope your son is what? Listening. Amen? Amen? Before what? But I know you're close, so you might make decisions just because of mommy. You understand? Always inquire of the Lord before you make what? Major decisions. There are some decisions which are not major. Where you can ask your mother. But sometimes actually major decisions, God can speak to you through your mother. You understand? Through your friend, you know, through your girlfriend. That day, she won't lie. But do you have any? Because you might be now thinking that because pastor's been saying my girlfriend lying, so I think the Lord is saying she's a liar. Then, man, you mess yourselves up. For me, I'm just joking. Glory be to God. Amen. You're all happy. You're being blessed. Hallelujah. So the veil, Jesus' body. Amen. When it was rent, when he was beaten, you understand, when he gave up the ghost and he died, you know, that cut, now you can boldly enter the throne of grace, right? You may receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So now, when you entered in there, there was, again, what we said, the ark or the covenant, you know, with the Ten Commandments, which all of you broke. Amen. And you break. Amen. But thank God now he doesn't judge you based on that. You know, you're forgiven, forever forgiven. You understand? But there was the commandments, you know, that you broke. Then there was Aaron's staff that, you know, now that staff, you know, it's what happened is people had begun challenging Aaron's authority. You know, then God called all of them, 12 guys, say, now, okay, you get stick there. Now, so overnight, his rod, you know, it sprouted, you know, and that was saying that this is the guy I've chosen, not you, the 11. You see, So again, it was a symbol of what? Rebellion, You know? Then the bread in the pot, also, amen, was, again, when guys were complaining about food, then God rained down bread from heaven, You remember? So now all those three things that were in there in the ark, were all talking about sin, rebellion, disobedience. Amen? But there was a lid, the mercy seat, that covered them. You know, You understand? The mercy seat. Jesus is our atonement, You know, and the blood was sprinkled on that mercy seat, You see, between the cherubim of glory, you know, meaning that your sins are covered. In fact, they are more than covered. They are washed away by the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see them, you know, when they're repented of, you know, he can't see them. He can't see the commandments that are broken, That is why you are forever accepted. Amen? Forever accepted. God is pleased with you, But you can continually please him by your actions. By inquiring of him, before you make major decisions, that pleases him, And you will avoid getting into unnecessary trouble. I mean, already the devil is on your case. You know, I mean, the devil is already on your case. Like as a Christian, the devil, you know, he's on your case. The whole fallen world, there is nothing about it that is designed to help you. You see how the sun burns. It is designed, you understand? Of course, it gives us food and water. But sometimes it messes you up, you understand? Everything is designed to mess you, the fallen world. Amen? Now here you are, things are against you, then you add your own. Do you see how terrible that is? Glory be to God. This thing, always inquire of the Lord before making what? Major decisions. Man, I'm so grateful I read The Final Quest in 1999. You understand? The Final Quest. Man, that book, it's a classic. Recently, I was told by the Lord that if you can just master this book, The Final Quest, you'll be great in heaven. Amen? You'll be great in heaven. Amen? And I'm going to master it and live by the principles therein. Amen? Amen. Then we shall get to heaven. Man, I always, this thing heaven, I always envision myself, you know, like, you know, when people are getting prizes, presents, gifts, you know, like medals, how they have to like go up on a podium, you understand? And anyway, so I always envision myself, man, that, not like when I die, even if I died now, you know, I always see myself, man, like in a black suit, and Jesus is up on the what? On the podium, you know, and then I'm running up, man, to like shake, you know, and then he's telling the angels that this is a guy I've always been telling you about. Then he shakes my hand and says, yep, this is a guy that I've always been. But that's, I always see myself running up there, man, you know, and just is waiting. Then he say, aha. Then he tells the angels, this is a chap. You know, he always inquired of me before he made major decisions. And when I told him, he counted the cost, he realized things are going to be tight, but he still obeyed me. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Anything else we haven't touched in there? Now, that, basically those things, and some are like the skin that covered it, everything was talking about Jesus. You've seen it. There's some of you who are, every time you get in Exodus and you start to see this thing, you just run over the chapters. But now I've simplified it for you. Everything was about Jesus, and primarily, he was doing everything there for you, for your sake. Amen? Hallelujah. So, please, this is has been a very, in my opinion, a simple thing, someone, but it's very major. Make Jesus the center of your life. Please, make, if you can, I'll never forget, there's a preacher I love so much. Man, when I got born again, and I'd read his books and listened to him, but then one day I saw him preaching. I've never seen anything like that. The way he assured the people, you understand? I was amazed, at the boldness, Then I remember him after he had assured the guys, he told fellows that, now, he had even just been invited to a place. Then he's assuring fellows. Then I remember he said that, that's good. He said that, and if you don't like me, I don't care. After this, I'm going to enjoy my friend, Then he made a statement which I was young in the Lord, a kid, and the guy said that years ago, the Lord delivered me from the fear of man. Those things as a kid, they blessed me so much. The guy said, years ago, the Lord delivered me from the fear of man. Now, one of the things you have to do, is to get out of that thing called the fear of man. The Bible says, I think it is in Exodus, Proverbs 29:25, that the fear of man causes a snare. You know, when you're ensnared, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing for the Lord. The fear of man. I'll be honest with you, to this day, I haven't reached the level that guy had reached, when you had been delivered from the, I still have the fear of man. I'll be honest with you. However, my pursuit is to be completely delivered from the fear of man. That's my pursuit. Amen? Get completely delivered from the fear of man. And obey the call of God upon your life. The fear of man. Doing everything for man. Hallelujah. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.